You're listening to the Simply Lived In podcast, episode number 20. I'm really excited for you guys to hear this episode with Lindsay Craig, because we dig into some topics that just aren't widely discussed, like how to know if you're doing the right thing and how we carry grief. Lindsay is so honest when she shares about the stress of being a mom and the emotion involved with life transitions, like building a very cool, sustainable home outside the city. In this episode, you will hear her talk about making time for what's important to you, creating a healthy planet, and carrying grief.
You're listening to the Simply Lived In podcast, where we understand that needing less helps us to be so much more. Entrepreneur and sustainability advocate, Meg Ross, will help you to break down how to create more space in your life. Get ready to hear from strong women who are redefining what living well looks like. If you've dreamed of being present, cutting the clutter, and putting an end to the busyness, this is the place to be. Here's your host, designer, motivator, and simplicity enthusiast, Meg Ross.
Hi, Simply listeners. Today we are chatting with Lindsay Craig. Lindsay is a mother, skate park owner, and runs a from scratch school kitchen. The biggest project in her life right now is building a home focused on more sustainable practices. Lindsay is a gardener, cook, seamstress. I mean, is there anything she can't do? Lindsay is major goals for anyone who is trying to slow down and clean up their lifestyle. Thank you so much for being on with us today, Lindsay.
Of course.
So to kick things off, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and where you even started building this lifestyle that you have today?
Sure. Okay, so I'm 31 years old, and I've always lived in the Midwest. I was born in Wisconsin near Lake Michigan, and I moved to Minnesota for college. I started out college thinking I'd become a physician assistant, and although I completed the allied health degree, I changed courses my junior year and added an ecology major because I really just started being way more interested in environmental issues. Since then, I've gotten married, and my husband and I have two kids. We have a five-year-old son, and my daughter is a year and a half. Mostly, I feel like my husband and I make a pretty good team. We were raised with a lot of similar ideals, and it's not too hard for us to create a life together that we both feel good about. There's no conflicts or arguments about a way of life that I would prefer. I think maybe our biggest challenge has been, since we have little ones, they really require a lot of stuff, and that's kind of changed our perspective a little bit and motivated us to slow down and declutter.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's so, I value so much that you and your husband are on the same page with that kind of stuff, because so I was married a year ago, and it is definitely safe to say that my husband is not on the same page with me right now.
Yeah, it can be really challenging.
Yeah, so that's just something I'm trying to work through slowly and lead by example and kind of make choices I can make on my own. And then, you know, he's very receptive to kind of learning as well.
Right. Yeah, I find that in a lot of areas of my life, people just, they don't care either the same way as I do about certain things, but sometimes the best you can do is just set a good example.
I totally agree. So something that you and your husband do together is you own and operate a skate park. So what does that look like? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So we decided to start a skate park when our city skate park was deemed unsafe and had to be shut down. And my husband has always been involved with skate communities since he was young and felt it was really important for our community to have a place for people to skate, especially himself and our five-year-old. I think he was like two at the time this all started. But it took a lot of years of planning and meetings before we were able to start building the park. And now we're 3 years into it. I'll admit that it's not a component of our life to make things more simple, but we have really experienced a lot of joy there too. I think the hardest part is that for 9 months of the year, I have to pick my son up from school and then I take the kids to the skate park to open the shop.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, it can be a handful for sure. And then when my husband is done at his teaching job, he joins us there and we eat dinner at the skate park. That's really the only way that we can make it work to eat as a family. And then I take the kids home to wind down and do the bedtime routine. So it definitely, it creates a situation where we don't always get to see each other a lot unless we work really hard to do so. And from a mother's perspective, I struggled a lot with my feelings on the importance of eating together as a family. It's just something that I grew up doing and find important. So how I've dealt with that is just being really diligent in menu planning every week. So when I get home from my day job in the morning, I can make our dinner and package it up to take to the skate park. And then we just eat there. It's an interesting arrangement, but it seems to be working pretty well for us.
I love that. Yeah. And I think, I mean, for me, simplicity is all about only having things in your lifestyle that bring you value. And it sounds like the skate park and the community there is a huge value add to your guys' life. So that's so cool how you're just making it work, and what it looks like for your family is a little different, but it's working.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I think that when people walk in sometimes, they're pretty shocked to see a family eating dinner at the counter, but it's kind of a fun quirk of the skate park, in my opinion.
Oh, that is totally fun. And something else that you do is you run a from scratch school kitchen, which is super interesting and very cool. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So I work at a small public charter school in Winona, Minnesota, and we're a pre-K through 12th grade. So we have all ages, about 120 students this year. This is my seventh year as the school's nutrition leader, and what that means is I currently have to be there at 4 a.m, and I do all the baking and breakfast prep and a lot of the lunch prep too for our staff and students, and sometimes that means making muffins and breakfast cookies or making hamburger buns and pizza crust. It really, we try to do as much from scratch as we can. We don't really pull much out of the freezer, which is pretty unique. We were the only school until last year in the area that had a from scratch school kitchen. So it's something I'm pretty proud about. We also have a high population of students that live in poverty, and a lot of the students don't have adequate nutrition at home. So I feel really strongly that when children are eating most of their food at school, that food really should be as wholesome and nutritious as possible.
Oh my gosh, I totally agree. I think that is very, very cool. First of all, just to even be making everything from scratch, especially for kids who might not get that at home. I think that's, you know, so valuable.
Yeah. And I had been working there full time until last year and decided to kind of cut back my hours a little bit so I could be home with my youngest. So my husband, he also works at the same school as a high school teacher, which works out also really well for our family. It's kind of another avenue where we can see each other, even if it's just in passing. So my youngest gets to hang out with me in a backpack carrier until I leave at about 8:30, and then we go home and do kind of our daytime stuff.
Oh, that is so fun. So another thing that you just have so many things going on. I'm rattling through them all.
I've realized that in thinking about this interview that everything really comes with a backstory, and sometimes it can feel kind of heavy, but I'm also pretty in love with the life I've created, so it works.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, that is so great. And something that you guys are working on now is you're building your own home, and you're trying to incorporate some more sustainable practices into that, which I love, because I would love to build a home someday. But yeah, along with building a home, I feel like that opens so many doors to sustainability and how you can be more responsible. So what are some things, well, first of all, how did this idea even come about? And then what are some things you're trying to do to make your home more sustainable?
Right. So I think it's been years that my husband and I have talked about, maybe down the line, we'll have some land and kind of just try something different, something out of the city. And I'm someone that tends to get an idea and then I run with it full force, which is exactly how this kind of has taken place. So it was just the day after this past Christmas, I got a tattoo from a friend. And before it started, we were just casually talking about how I was just waiting for the right piece of land to fall in my lap. So I'm always looking and nothing ever seems like to be perfect enough. And it turned out that she had 3 acres and was considering selling. And we closed on it in March of this year. So it's all been moving really quickly. My husband and I came up with a 5-year plan, and it was like the next day we're like, no way, like we're not going to wait 5 years. So I posted on Instagram that we were going to sell our house, and we sold it 3 days later, which is pretty amazing. It was the simplest home sale that I've ever heard of, but it really was bittersweet. We had a really beautiful old Victorian house built in the 1800s, and we put a lot of our own work into it. So I guess I must say I don't miss it, but it really was still bittersweet because I loved it. In living in that house, I think my husband and I were beginning to feel kind of overwhelmed by the size, which is kind of what sold us to it in the first place. We liked the size of it. We thought it would be a neat thing to always be working on. But in designing a smaller and simpler home, I think in the end, it's going to really work out for us a lot better. We'll be able to pay for the land and the building of the house without really changing the size of our mortgage, which was really important to us, because sometimes when you get tied to those huge mortgages, it's hard to live simply because you're just constantly working and worried about money. That's something that we didn't want to have in our life.
Yeah.
You just bought a home, so I'm sure that you can kind of relate to that side of things.
Yes, I can totally relate. And it was so funny because before we were homeowners, we were just renting, and we really love owning our own home. But everyone's like, you're going to be a slave to your home. And we're like, no, we're not. And oh my gosh, here we are, like totally saving up to pay for repairs and spending weekends like fixing stuff. But that is just something that goes with it. And I think, yeah, we're lucky too. Like we have a home that's, we want to grow our family in. So it's too big for just two people right now, but we're hoping it's a sustainable size that really will work for us in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I guess the sustainable side of this venture that we're taking is that the land that we bought is a perfect south-facing slope, and we did a ton of research and decided that we were going to design a home that would utilize the sun, and we drew up passive solar plans for our home. And I won't get too sciencey or anything, but the main components of passive solar is that there's you have a bunch of thermal mass in your home. So this can be anything from like concrete or bricks or stones or even water. And then that mass absorbs the energy from the sun. So in winter, the mass will release that heat into the air and heat your home. And in summer, it absorbs the heat and holds it, keeping your house cool. There's a lot more technical components, but I'll spare you those. But it's all pretty fascinating.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's so cool. I actually haven't heard of that, but that's like a dream. I was wondering if you had anything like that that you were incorporating. Wow, that is so, I'm excited to look into that more.
Yeah, it really is neat. So like talk about the perfect piece of land falling into our laps. Like I really feel super, super lucky to have this all be happening. And then, yeah, we designed a home that's just going to be pretty basic. We're going to have concrete floors, just one main big living space with a kitchen and sitting room, and then small bedrooms. And then the way that it all worked out is it's going to be built into the hill. So half of the house is going to have 16-foot roofs. So we were able to also add in 2 loft spaces. One, of course, will have to be a sewing room, in my opinion. And then I'm sure they'll all just take on different roles throughout the life when we're there. And then the other really exciting thing for me, not so much my husband, is that I'll be able to do a ton of gardening, and we can also have some livestock. So I'm personally dreaming about having a flock of sheep because I'm really interested in wool and also maybe to raise for food. And then a whole other component of this is I think a lot about mental sustainability, not only how our actions can be sustainable, but how can we make a life that makes us mentally sustainable. And I've learned that I'm really most happy when I'm in the environment and when I'm working really hard to create something. And I really like hard work and nurturing. So I think that living on just a few acres, caring for animals, gardens, and growing food will be really great for my mental health as well.
Oh, that is so great. I'm so excited for you. I can't wait to see where this journey takes you. It sounds so cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited as well.
Would you say that your lifestyle is driven more by the health of your family or the health of the planet or both? And how do those two ideas motivate you in different ways?
That is a good question. So I think that in order to have a healthy planet, we must first have a healthy life. So for me, I would say they go hand in hand. In college, I was really involved with environmental actions and was on a lot of committees with staff and faculty to try to change policies and practices. And I think that I learned a lot during this time, and it was really fortunate for me to be surrounded by a lot of like-minded people. So now, working at a school and a small business, I feel like I maybe touched on this a little bit earlier, but I'm reminded every day how far we still need to go. So things as simple as recycling is just not on other people's minds. And for me, it can like literally give me a stomachache if there's not a recycling bin or a compost around for me to use. And I just know that there's like a big gap between how people live their life, and not that there's necessarily like a high horse to be on about it or anything. But I think that as much as I can, I'm going to do my best to be a good steward to the land we purchased and feed my family good food and raise animals in a way that benefits the land. And then where I can, be a teacher.
I love that. What are the most important things you consider when trying to create a healthy lifestyle for your kids?
So I've already kind of alluded to that I'm easily anxious and nervous. So I would say that it's really easy for me to feel stressed out about being a mom. I think there's a lot of responsibility when it comes down to it. And right now, we're in this really big transition phase in our lives. We're living in a 2-bedroom apartment since we sold our house. And I'm really trying to cut myself a lot of slack and not be too hard on myself for not being able to do everything that I'm used to being able to do or everything that I want to be able to do. But in general, I really want to raise my kids to be curious. I want them to be able to feel like they can question why things are a certain way. And I think it's also important for them to have names for things, like being able to identify plants and animals around them, because I think knowing where your food comes from can be really powerful, and that it's important to hold that as sacred and that seeing it as an important job. So although I think I'm taking a really big leap by doing everything I'm doing right now, by leaving the city, I really hope that I'm making the right decision and creating a good life for my kids.
Oh, I love that. And it is so scary, you know, I can't imagine being a mom and how scary that would be. But I just know big changes in my life are always scary. And there's no guarantee you're making the right decision, right? But if you're just trusting your intuition and, kind of following what you think is right, then, you know, you have to try it, I guess.
Yeah, there have been times when I've driven to our land and just get the biggest pit in my stomach, just hoping that I'm not, you know, making a really big mistake.
Sure you're not making a mistake.
Yeah, I hope not.
Well, on to something a little lighter. Some area that you make room for creativity in your life is through all of your hobbies, which I want you to speak about them, because you have like the most amazing hobbies that I've ever seen. Just going through your Instagram is amazing.
Thank you so much.
So can you just tell us a little bit about like what you sew and what you knit and all the different things that you work on and how you make time for them?
Okay. So first, I feel like I should say that I often joke to my friends about how I'm really bad at hobbies, because I like I said before, I go full force into something and then, you know, like 2 months later, I'll be like, I think I'm going to do something else. So it's kind of like I'm really good at making hobbies a hobby, I think. And it can be really hard to make room for them, for sure. And it's something that I've had to consciously do. Like, I think it's pretty obvious that our life is pretty busy right now. In the past, I've felt kind of down about how little I did for myself. Once I've had kids, they really take up a lot of energy. But I'm trying to be gentle with myself, and I'm learning to be okay with some clutter and letting certain chores or cleaning just go undone sometimes. So I really utilize the time when my kids are asleep to explore things that I'm interested in. So, yeah, like you said, I really, right now I'm really into knitting and wool. So I've been trying to spin wool into yarn, and then have been learning about how to dye wool with plants, because I feel like once I have land, then I can grow plants. And it's like this whole, now I have a whole dream in my mind where I'm going to have sheep, and then I can use their wool and make yarn and dye it with the plants I grow, and then make a sweater for my daughter or something. So that's kind of how my brain works with hobbies, is I,
oh my gosh,
I just make up little dreams.
Yes, I have the biggest smile on my face right now, because I completely share your dream of having a little sheep farm and like organic dyeing, and it just sounds so wonderful.
Yeah, and I feel like knowing myself, like that will happen, and then we'll just see if it's something that I stick with or not, or I might just be on to the next thing. I'm not sure.
Yep, and I think something that you've mentioned a couple of times that's really important is, like you said, like your hobbies should serve you and your lifestyle should serve you. So if anything becomes like stressful or anxious, like it's important just to let that go and, you know, not rely too heavy on your expectations of what you think it will be, and just try it out. And then if it serves you, that's awesome. And if it doesn't, then move on, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's a really great point.
So something else that I wanted to talk with you about is a connection point that you and I both share, is that we both lost our dads to cancer, actually. And I think you said you were 10 when you lost your dad.
Yeah.
And so that's a really, really hard thing. But especially because you were so young, you mentioned that you think it has driven the direction of your adult life. Mm-hmm. And can you speak a little bit about how you think losing your dad kind of has driven you into adulthood?
Yeah. First, I'm really sorry for your loss. I feel like it's something that can really be heavy on your heart, and it's not always obvious to other people around you that that is something that's on your mind. So, yeah, it's just something that I think about a lot, and I feel like I've, in this life experience, I've learned to value life, both mine and the lives of the people around me, and I think valuing life can look different for different people, but for me, it usually takes the form of trying a lot of new things and trying to live a really full life, sometimes to the point of exhaustion, which is something that I'm also kind of trying to be better about, taking it a little bit easier on myself. But ultimately, I really want to live a life that I'm proud of. And like you said, I was 10 when he died, and he left us with this recording of memories and advice. And one thing he said always just like rings in my brain, and it was to figure out what you love and then find a way to get paid for doing it. And I think because he wanted us to be happy, and it's really easy to get stuck in a position or a job that really doesn't make you happy. So I hope that that's what I'm doing. I feel like that's what I'm doing. And I would also want that for my kids. So I do my best to fill their time with meaningful experiences and trying to teach them interesting skills, because I want to learn them, or I want them to learn, just to appreciate the simple beauty around them and learn what they love.
Oh, I love that so much. And you are completely right. Like, it's just on your heart all the time. But I don't know. I do like some meditation. It's just Headspace, but the guy on there has like the most applicable knowledge. So I'm doing the grief package right now. And he just says a lot of interesting things about, you know, you're going to carry this with you forever, and you can kind of choose if it's a positive in your life or a negative. And I think you're such an inspiration about how you've really made it a positive and in your own life. And I'm trying to do that as well, you know?
Yeah. And it truly took me, it's pretty powerful memory for me, but it took me 11 years to get to this point. I remember the night where I just was kind of like, wow, my dad is still dead and that's never going to change. And that's kind of when I decided that I just needed to reframe how I dealt with it. Grief can be really hard and it is long lasting, but it does also take a lot of different forms.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree. What are you working on right now that you are the most excited about?
I feel like I've noticed on Instagram that it's pretty popular, but I just ordered Anna Allen's Persephone pants pattern, and I've already made a few pairs, and it's been a while since I've made something for myself through sewing, so it's kind of opened this new avenue, and I would really like to make more clothes for myself. It's been really fun to make a pair of pants and tailor them to fit me just like pretty perfectly to the point where I would happily never take them off. So I highly recommend the pattern to anybody looking to make some pants.
That's so fun. I'll definitely link that in the show notes. I actually haven't heard of that, but I did see the pair of pants that you made and they look pretty awesome.
Yeah, they're really great.
I have enjoyed our conversation so, so much, and I so value all the different things you have going on and how honestly you talk about kind of how it's hard to have a lot going on sometimes. But if people want to connect with you to learn more from you, how can they get in contact?
So my only social media presence right now is on Instagram. So my personal account is LCH Craig, and Craig is K-R-A-G-E. And I do have a business account with a friend, Marin's Street Knits, which is M-A-R-A-N-S, we make little knitwear for babies and toddlers. Pretty low-key, but there's some cute things on there. And then we also have a skate park page, which is at Anthem Skate Shop. So those would all be good avenues to reach me.
Ah, great. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today, and I so enjoyed speaking with you.
Thank you as well so much. I feel like you really gave me a lot to think about, and I feel like I'll be thinking about it for days and days to come. So I wish you a lot of luck in everything that you're doing right now. I think it's really exciting.
I have so many favorite parts of our conversation. I love how Lindsay says that to have a healthy planet, we must first have a healthy life. Because that is 100% what I believe and what I'm always talking about. I love how we share that big dream and that big goal. I also love how Lindsay invests in the things that bring her joy, like her vision of creating a farm-to-clothing sweater for her kiddos with sheep that she raises, naturally dyed with plants that she grew. What a reminder to believe in the beauty of your dreams and to take the time to do things that fill up your cup. If you guys loved this episode, please pop by iTunes and leave us a review so we can keep giving amazing women like Lindsay a platform to share their simplicity journeys. To further dive into the topics we talked about, check out the show notes for this episode at www.simplylivedinpodcast.com. And until next time, Simply listeners, keep showing up as you are for a life that is simply lived in.
Thanks for listening to the Simply Lived In podcast. Dive into show notes for this episode and all past episodes at simplylivedinpodcast.com. If you love the show, please share with your friends. Help us to spread the power of simplicity. Thanks for listening, and until next time, keep up your quest for less.